Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Couple things. You need to get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Android in the Play Store. You're going to be good to go. You can watch the network. You can listen to the network. Great stories, videos, highlights, odds, in-game odds. Follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. You're going to love it. The Sports Grid app, it's free on iOS and Android. Now listen, you can watch us on X now, streaming every day. Just go to sportsgrid-live and you're good to go. 7 days a week, all day, every day, always. It's awesome. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. A programming note, tomorrow we're going to go 3 to 7, an extra hour, and we're going to dedicate that extra hour to the playoff and to all the bowl games in college football. So they've got all the bowl games lined up now and we're good to go. So we're going to go 4 hours tomorrow, Tuesday. And like, we're going to take it 3 to 7 instead of 3 to 6. So maybe that last hour we'll do the football and just blow out on it. And it'll be awesome. Everybody's going to get jacked for all these playoff games and all the bowl games. You saw even, Michigan, Alabama, that's going to be a great game on New Year's Eve. You can't beat it. So we'll line them all up tomorrow, Carver High. One other note, you can get the podcast of C2C and Pharrell on the Bench on iTunes and wherever you get podcasts every day, Monday through Friday. All right, so the Vikings really showed the Falcons the door. I think the Falcons are done now. They're losing every week, and they got schooled yesterday. They look terrible.
The Falcons look absolutely brutal. They have now lost 4 games in a row, okay? They have 42-21. They got blown out by the Vikings yesterday in Kirk Cousins' return to Minnesota. But forget Cousins. He threw a couple more picks and looked bad. It was the Sam Darnold show, Scotty. 347 and 5 tutties for Sam in this game. 3 of them went to Jordan Addison, who had a huge game, a buck 33 and 3 tutties. But also Justin Jefferson getting involved, who hadn't had a touchdown since September. He had not 1, but 2 on Fox.
Falcons bringing pressure. Darnold in trouble. Sam Darnold keeps it alive. Darnold on the run. Open man. Coverage blown. Walk-in touchdown. Justin Jefferson. 52 yards. Darnold keeps it alive and strikes the superstar.
They made it look easy. And you know what's crazy? Cousins keeps getting worse. What was it? 4 last week. 2 more yesterday. I mean, the guy's just throwing to the other team. That's all he's doing now is throwing picks, and they're losing. So they gave him all that money, and it's not working out. People are starting to clamor for Penix, and it's about time Jefferson did something. They say he's the best in the league, and the guy hadn't caught a tutty in forever, but then he has a big game against the Falcons. Everyone has big games against the Falcons now.
Everybody does. Now, I will tell you this about the Falcons, who have lost 4 in a row and are now a game behind Tampa in the South. They do play the Raiders and the Giants the next 2 weeks. So if they can't get right in those 2 games, they're not getting right. Because those are two of the worst, you know, really two of the three worst teams in the league record-wise. And the Raiders aren't even going to have, you know, Raiders are going to be playing Desmond Ridder on Monday night against his old team. So Falcons better figure it out and quickly, that's for sure. Ho-hum for the Vikings. They're 11-2 now, by the way. I know that none of us
believe it. I mean, I still don't really believe in them in the playoffs. I think they'll get beat in the playoffs, but you got to admit, it's impressive what they're doing, that they're 11-2, but I'm not buying it. I still don't believe that they'll be great in the postseason.
I'm not buying it either. We mentioned that the Falcons aren't in first anymore. That's because the Bucs are. Tampa Bay 28-13 over the Raiders down at the Pirate Ship in Tampa. Really ho-hum here. The Raiders gave you not much resistance. Baker had a good day, 295 and three tutties. Here is Todd Bowles afterwards. Yes, we're in first now, but we have to keep ourselves there.
Well, just like I'm telling these guys, you know, just because we're in first is one thing. To stay in first is a whole nother deal. We got 4 weeks to play. We're happy to be playing meaningful football in December. We understand what that means, and we got to go out every week and try to squeeze out these games, but it feels good.
I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's the reason they're good. I think that they're a playoff team. He's already shown what he can do. He's tough. He goes for it. He slings it. And they win. And they're better than the Falcons. I don't care what anybody says. They just need to seal the deal, close it off, get the playoff, win the division, and then go see what they can do in the postseason.
I wanted to see what they're giving you for the Bucs right now, because they're going to win this division. -230. Yeah, they're heavy favorites. -230 because they play the Chargers, Cowboys, Panthers, and Saints over the last 3 weeks. So again, there's a couple games in there that they're going to win out of those last four, just like Atlanta's going to. So nice job by the Bucs. They got right in the driver's seat now.
Five of six, and then look at them now. And then you're seeing Atlanta implode. So they keep losing. They're finished. And so Tampa will end up winning it, even though they lost five of six in the middle of the season. That's crazy.
They will be missing one of their better defenders over the last few weeks. Safety Antoine Winfield, several games, sprained knee. For him, so that is not good. On the Raiders side, Aiden O'Connell was carted off with a left leg injury. I did see like an hour ago that they think that it's just a bone bruise for Aiden O'Connell and that he has not been completely ruled out for Monday night against Atlanta. So Raiders in primetime next Monday. So get yourself excited for that. I know that gets you...
What could be worse than that game, honestly?
Well,
like, seriously,
that's
terrible. They should cancel it.
It is one of those weeks with two Monday night games. I will say that. Although I don't know if the other one gets you any more excited. Bears at the Vikings is the other Monday night game.
Well, I mean, that's better than the first one.
Falcons, Raiders.
I mean, the Vikings will beat the Bears. Where's that game? Is it at the bank or is it at Soldier Field?
It's at the bank. It's in Minnie. It's at the bank.
They're going to roll the Bears, so see you later.
Probably will roll the Bears. Eagles beat the Panthers 22-16, but once again, the Panthers made it very difficult. There's a cover, 13.5 to the window with Carolina. We love that. Here is Nick Sirianni. It was ugly, but it was a win.
So I thought our guys, you know, even though there were times it was ugly, it's hard to win in this league. That team's been playing a lot better week in, week out. A lot of respect for Coach Canales and the job that he's done. But our guys played their butts off for 60 minutes. That's what it's the NFL. It's tough. But our guys played they played hard, and they played hard for 60 minutes, and it showed up on that last play.
So the guy won his money. He bet $3 million and he won, $400 and change. That guy had to be sweating that one out. I mean, that game was close. And we were right on the money, the spread. It covered.
It was real close, that one. Bryce Young played well again, man. I know that just sitting those four or five games, whatever it was, they're going to be a problem. Do they have anyone they could knock out the next few weeks? They play Arizona next week, or 2 weeks from now. They play Cowboys, Arizona, Tampa, and Atlanta. So Tampa and Atlanta, for that division crown, both of them have to play Carolina the last 2 weeks.
Have fun.
Carolina's gonna beat one of those two teams. You know, the Bucks almost lost to him last week, right? They had that overtime game. The Bucks got a fight out of him. So Panthers are going to have something to say about who wins that division at the end of the day. All right, we'll come back. I'll give you the Seahawks, who are now in control of the West in the NFC. The Dolphins' overtime win over the Jets. I've got a few other games from yesterday that we'll go through as well. We have Cowboys and Bengals tonight on Monday Night Football in Dallas. Very exciting.
I couldn't believe Seattle went there and dominated that game.
Pounded
on the road in Arizona. So now
Arizona's finished.
He's that first place. They got a nice grip on it now after Arizona blew their shot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You got to admit, Seattle came up big on the road. That's a huge win for them. And certainly for the, you know, first place now, they got a nice little stranglehold on it after winning in the toaster. I couldn't believe it. I actually thought Arizona would win that game, and I got burned on this one as well.
Yeah, Arizona. I thought that Seattle really wasn't that great. I thought Arizona was better, and Arizona's finished now, as they now fall to 6-7. 30-18 was the final. Seahawks moved to 8-5, sole possession of first place in the NFC West. They did not even have Kenneth Walker yesterday. He did not play, but who cares? Zach Charbonnet stepped in very nicely, including this long touchdown run, his second on CBS.
I don't know how many organized football leagues there are for three-year-olds. That was news to me. On a give, Charbonnet. First down and more. Charbonnet turning on the Jets. Charbonnet takes it to the house. Touchdown, Seahawks.
The Birdman styling. So you remember this kid in college. He had it all going, and now he's doing it for Seattle. He came up big yesterday. I'm telling you, they mean business. They're another team, though, I think, that'll lose in the playoffs. They're going to get in, and they're not going anywhere. I don't think they're that good, but that was a big win for them on the road. I'll tell you what.
It was a big win for them. So Seattle, 8-5. Rams, 7-6, one game behind them. Niners, now 6-7, two games behind the Seahawks after they destroyed the Bears, 38-13, out at Santa Clara. Here is Kyle Shanahan. Yes, it's nice to finally get a win after a few losses, but we got to run it right back. They're playing the Rams, big divisional game on Thursday night at home. Today means nothing if we don't get that done on Thursday.
I hope so. I mean, momentum, you know, we feel good right now. We played well. It's going to come fast. And the only way we're going to really enjoy today is if we take care of business on Thursday. And then we'll have 3 days to kind of enjoy it and come back and deal with our last three games. But if you don't take care of business on Thursday, not much to celebrate about today. So, and the main message in there is how proud I am of the guys. And now let's go home, get to sleep. Those guys take care of their bodies tomorrow. We'll put in the game plan tomorrow. And we got to come in Tuesday ready to go because we're 48 hours from a game once it happens.
It always helps playing the Bears. And then now they'll have a huge test. They have to win out. They have to win every game. That's just all there is to it. They have no room for error as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not really that worried about the Niners, even if they get in. I don't think they are getting in. I think at some point they'll stumble. But I guess they could run the table. You never know. So this will be huge Thursday. We'll see what they're made of.
Well, I'll say this about the Seahawks, who are a game up on the Rams and two up on the Niners. They got a pretty difficult next couple weeks. You know, they play the Packers at home. That's a Sunday night game in Seattle. Then they have the Vikings at home as well. So they're playing these games at home, but they've been beatable at home this year. We've seen some teams go into Seattle and beat the Seahawks. So Packers, Vikings the next 2 weeks. Then they go to Chicago and they go to L.A. So that's the last game of the year. Seahawks, Rams in Los Angeles. Potentially the division will be on the line for that last game.
Well, I mean, we saw what they did last night. I mean, against your team, the Bills. Yeah. I mean, they put up a ton of points yesterday, and they mean business. This guy, Stafford, can beat anybody. It doesn't matter where they play. He can come up big, and Puka Shells came up big. they're tough. I'm surprised they beat the Bills, but I think they can beat Seattle in that game. Why not? I mean, I'd bet on Stafford. I think he's better than Smith. I know Smith has better numbers, maybe bigger, you know, yards and everything else, but I think Stafford's better overall.
If that game's for the division the last week of the year, I'll take this. I'll take the Rams in Seattle. I'll side with the Rams. Rams beat them already this year in L.A. I would absolutely take McVay and Stafford in that spot if we get there. Dolphins hanging on to hope in the AFC playoff race, but man, did they get a sweat yesterday out of the Jets. They had to come back a bunch of times. Game goes to overtime. Dolphins do get it done, especially for people that had 5.5 for Miami. Tua to Jonnu Smith in overtime for the winner on CBS.
Good time. To the end zone. Got it! Smith, touchdown! The Dolphins win!
It's amazing how the Jets always lose and always lose in Miami. I mean, they lose every week. And then they haven't won down there in forever. They always find a way to lose to the Dolphins. It's unbelievable. It was a pretty good game, though. I'm sitting there watching that game, and I was like, all right, this is a decent game. Went to overtime. It wasn't bad. Dolphins get it done at home, as usual, against the Jets. They never, ever play well down there. It's unbelievable. They didn't play that bad yesterday, though. I didn't think they looked too terrible overall. And Rodgers didn't look bad, but they lost.
They lost, and that's it. And that loss also officially eliminated them from playoff contention. Not that they weren't pretty much eliminated anyway. Let's hear from Aaron about being eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, the expectations were high. We didn't reach them. Not even close. It felt good 3 weeks in. That weekend off we had, everybody felt real good. And since then, it's been a lot of difficult games with opportunities to win. We just didn't figure out how to win enough games. I didn't play good enough in some crunch times, and that's why we're sitting here with the record we got.
It's always the same thing with him. Same thing comes out of his mouth.
Always the same thing.
I mean, it's just they never win. What a nightmare season it was. I mean, so they weren't going to the playoffs anyway. Who cares about being officially eliminated? They suck.
Yeah, they tried to like pry him yesterday too with, you know, he's like, what's the question? Get to it. You know, he was very, very snarly yesterday after that loss in Miami. But hey, you know, he's just did all that work on his house in New Jersey, so he's got that going for him. He's just go and hang out there and he'll be good. What a disaster.
I don't know what
it has been this year.
I really don't. I don't know what
I don't know either.
At quarterback.
We did all this last week. They might be stuck with going with him again next year. They might not have a choice in terms of who's going to play quarterback for them. Hasn't all been his fault, but, I mean, the defense could have got a stop when he got that field goal with a minute left yesterday. They certainly didn't get a stop at the end of that game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I'm watching the Giants, right? And, you know, you got this guy lining up to tie the game and kick this chip shot, and he missed it. I was like, oh, my God. They couldn't win if it hit him in the face. I couldn't believe he missed it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. They are awful. They stink. They can't do anything right. It is truly unbelievable. Did you think he was going to miss that field goal?
No.
Honestly.
I didn't think he was going to miss it.
Oh, my God.
But, I, you know, that's just the kind of year that they're having, the Giants, who are now 2-11, and now it's all starting to take shape for this number one pick. The Giants and the Raiders, both 2-11, and have the inside track because they only have two wins. So whichever one of them does it the right way and just loses every game, the rest of the way will get the number one overall pick, because you know one of them will screw it up and win a game or two along the way. And I don't think it will be the Giants. I think the Giants have completely shut it down. I think they play the Ravens this week. at MetLife. They're going to get smashed. They play in Atlanta against the Falcons. Now, the Falcons, we know they suck, but they're playing for something, and the game's in Atlanta. They have the Colts at MetLife, who claim to still be in the race, and then they finish at the Eagles, who could be playing for the one seed. The Giants should lose these last four games and go 2-15. They should just finish it off and just get the top pick. Because
they have to lose. They have to try to lose.
Lose the games at this point. That's really. And I saw this note today. If they lose at home these next 2 weeks, they'll be the first team to go 0-9 at home in a season. Because now this isn't a lot of history. They've only been playing 17 games for the last few years. So it's only been a few years that teams have had 9 home games in a season. Giants could go 0-9 at home if they don't beat the Ravens and the Colts in their last two home games.
I've never seen them so bad. I've never seen them in my life this bad.
Not winning a home game the entire season. The Giants, the Mara family, the Tishes, going to go 0-9 at home throughout an entire football fall. That's pathetic.
I think it's just pathetic. Dable and Shane have been pathetic. They've never gotten better. They keep getting worse. It's just like every week they get worse than the week before. I mean, it's like I'm watching that game and I was like, I almost fell over when he missed it. I was like, oh my God, they can't even kick a field goal. They do absolutely nothing right. So they need to tank and they need to get the number one pick no matter what. And, you know, they need the Raiders to win a game. That's all there is to it.
Well, and the Jags were with them with 2 wins, but the Jags foolishly went and won at Tennessee yesterday. So now the Jags are 3-10. So they got out of the 2-win pool. So Giants and the Raiders have 2 wins. Cleveland, Jacksonville, Jets, Tennessee, New England, Carolina all have 3 wins. So a lot of teams with 3 wins that could still, you know, you have about 8 teams really still in the running for those top 2 or 3 picks in the NFL draft. So tanking season has begun with 4 games to go.
Then that game as well, that Jags game, 10-6 with the Titans. They both stink, and it was pathetic. Look how awful that game was. I mean, honestly, Mac Jones gets the win, whatever. So that actually hurt them. By winning, it hurt them, right? So now
the win put them
down.
They put the win, dropped them back into that pile of 6 teams that all has 3 wins. So they're just in a pile with all those other teams now. And the Giants and the Raiders are alone in 1-2 when it comes to the chance to get the number one pick in the NFL draft. So congratulations to them. All right. We have one more game left this week for week 14. That is tonight in Dallas between the Bengals and the Cowboys. After you talk to Matt, we will give you all the numbers for that game, including some touchdown plays tonight. Now, maybe we'll get a high-scoring game. Bengals score a lot of points. Bengals give up a lot of points. So maybe we can have some fireworks in Big D.
They always find a way to lose, though. I mean, Cincinnati, they rack up points and they lose. And Dallas is actually playing better the last few weeks. Imagine if they get to 6-7, if they win tonight at home. And then they could actually, you know, if they get to 500, who knows what could happen? Because they kind of fought their way back into the season all of a sudden. I kind of like them at home tonight. I really do.
I do, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Matt Mercell is back from the Orlando Sentinel. He talks college football with us. I guess the first thing I want to know is, what was your reaction to Alabama getting sent packing?
I think it was, when you look at all the teams that are involved now in the playoff, the 12 teams, I think it was the right decision. You know, I think in those Alabama fans obviously didn't think that way, but felt like they deserved to be there. But the way that you saw SMU play, the way Clemson's situation came down with the ACC championship game, you knew one that was a possibility. And then obviously the way it happened, you know, Alabama finds its way on the outside. Listen, you know, South Carolina, Miami, Ole Miss, all those teams all wish they were in the playoff. It wasn't going to happen. I think at some point down the road, we'll see the playoff expand. get to 16 teams. But these are the 12 teams that really kind of get their best chance to go out there and see what happens in college football.
So how do you think they'll do SMU against Penn State?
You know, I think it'll be a back-and-forth type game. I mean, I think Penn State plays a little better defense. We saw SMU come off to a really slow start against Clemson. Clemson's defense really kind of held them in check a little bit. They come on and turn it on in the second half to really make that late push and almost pull off the win. I think Penn State's defense is a little bit better. I think Penn State will have an opportunity, you know, to win this game. I think it'll be a back-and-forth game, though. I think both these two teams have a pretty good offense right now. They're putting up a lot of points. Someone's got to find a way to stop somebody, and I think Penn State's probably going to have the opportunity to do that.
So Oregon did it. They beat Penn State, and Dylan Gabriel's a badass. They are a clear number one, and they can beat anybody, and they can win the whole thing. I think that they're dangerous the way they can score and the way he moves the ball around and throws tutties. I mean, they're dangerous.
They're very dangerous. I mean, you know, they not only are they look at their offense, like you mentioned, what Dylan Gabriel can do. He's got a good arm. He can run with the football a little bit. They've got plenty of weapons around him that he can get the ball to. But I think they play really good defense at times. You know, they've been able to step up, make some plays when it's counted. They're one of the more complete teams we've seen so far this season in college football. And they're a scary team, and I don't think anyone really wants to face them. And you look at the situation, you look at the first-round matchups. I mean, there's an opportunity if Ohio State gets past Tennessee. You know, Ohio State could end up facing Oregon again, you know, and I think that's going to be an opportunity for Oregon, again, to showcase what it needs to do. And maybe that could be kind of one of those things that you know, we talk about Ryan Day having issues at Ohio State and the fan base not being behind him. That's going to be a tough game for him to try to win and make his case for that.
That was a great game when they played in Outson Eugene, and it was just unbelievable. Remember, they ran out of clock. They screwed it up at the end, but Ohio State gave them a game.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see some of these matchups where maybe, you know, I know you don't want to see the same thing over and over again, but to have a rematch of this game, I think that's going to be a great opportunity. You know, Ohio State, obviously this game happened earlier in the year. This gives an opportunity for, you know, Ohio State. We've seen them kind of go through their situations. You know, they've been able to grow a little bit here and there. Obviously, the loss to Michigan wasn't where they wanted to finish the season, but still, I mean, Oregon to me right now is playing some of the best football. They've kind of gone into this playoff really being the team that no one wants to face.
Boise got it done. They beat UNLV. They handled their business on the blue carpet, and here they are sitting as a 3 seed, and they're going to meet the winner of that SMU-Penn State game. How do you think they'll do in this playoff? They've done everything else the right way all season.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. You know, I think going and it's going to be a challenge, though. I mean, we talked about earlier, if Penn State's the team that gets in there, you know, again, they're going to face a team that's got a good offense, that plays decent defense, you know, had a pretty tough schedule this year. I mean, you can't argue the fact that the Big Ten schedule is a lot better than the Mountain West schedule. You know, we saw Boise State do all the things it needs to do. Austin Gentry's probably going to be a Heisman finalist. He's a guy that's definitely going to be among the top two players, maybe two or three players in that mix for that award. So, you know, they're going to continue to rely on giving him the football. I think Penn State has a little bit too much there and can find a way to pull it up. But kudos to what Boise State has done this year, proving that, you know, again, a G5 school can finally make its way into the playoff discussion.
So Georgia's the 2. They beat Texas. Yeah. It was a great game. And then they're going to meet the winner of Indiana-Notre Dame. That game's in South Bend. Who do you like in that game? And then how do you think Georgia will do against the winner?
You know, listen, South Bend in late mid-December, that's going to be in the low 20s on a Friday night. Listen, I'm from there. I know what it's like. I like Notre Dame in this game. As much as I think Indiana has had an amazing season and Kirk Cignetti's done an amazing job with that program, this is Notre Dame. You're playing in South Bend Stadium. You know, I think there's going to be a huge crowd there for this game. I think Notre Dame has kind of rolled off a bunch of wins since some of that early struggles they had losing to Northern Illinois. I think they've looked really good. I think they win this game. And they go into the Georgia game. And I think what's interesting to me about the Georgia game is we don't know what's going to happen to Carson Beck. We know he's hurt, right? You know, they're trying to see if he can get back healthy and make sure right. he could be available. If he's not available, how is this Georgia team going to be a little bit different? I know they survived and they beat Texas, but do they have enough to do the same sort of thing? I think that's going to be the challenge. And I think, again, if Georgia finds a way to get past, let's say, Notre Dame, you know, then this says a lot about the job that Kirby Smart has been able to do, because Georgia, I think, at times hasn't been the best team in the country.
How do you think Arizona State will do? They looked incredible against Iowa State, and they get the Clemson, Texas winner, and I think they could dance with anybody.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the offensive firepower they showcased in the Big 12 championship the other day against Iowa State was impressive. You know, I mean, Scadaboo is a talented running back. We saw what he's been able to do. I've seen him up close. I mean, you know, he's a guy that can really kind of take over a game. They love to use him, but they still have a lot of weapons around him. So it's just not a one-trick pony show. I think this is an opportunity for Arizona State really to make their case. I mean, I don't care who they end up facing. I think this is going to be a tough game. You know, we talk about Oregon being a team that no one wants to face. I think Arizona State's kind of in that mix as well. Their team has got a chip on their shoulder. No one thought they could be in the mix at all. They were supposed to finish last in the Big 12. Look where they are now, and I think they've kind of carried that over. It's kind of also a symptom of their coach, Kenny Dillingham.
What do you think of some of the bowl games like Iowa State and Miami, the Michigan-Alabama game? Do you like some of the bowl games that we're going to see?
Yeah, I think those games will be interesting. You know, to me, what's interesting about a lot of those games is who's going to play in those games. I'm not talking teams. I'm talking players. You know, Cam Ward has said, you know, Miami quarterback, he was going to play in this game. That's important. You know, I mean, now that we've seen a lot of players opting out for some of these games, you want to see these teams at their best. So if Cam Ward's back and Miami's best, you know, that gives them an opportunity to come out there and try to finish things off strong. It's not where they wanted to be, or maybe Iowa State. But I think that's a good game. Alabama, Michigan, same sort of thing. I think for Michigan, this means a lot more to them in this bowl game because of the season, the type of season they've had. Alabama, again, maybe not where they wanted to be, but in Kalen DeBoer's first season, I think they want to end things on a high note. So they're going to kind of come out and do that. So I think this is great to see these kind of matchups. Always good to have teams that I know they didn't get where they wanted to be, but still give them opportunity to showcase themselves to their fans.
What do you think of BYU-Colorado? That's a good game.
Oh, that's a great matchup, isn't it? I mean, you take the Big 12 and you throw them in there. And just because of the whole Pac-12 situation when it came down to their bowls, they end up facing each other. And, I mean, you know, Deion has done a great job. Deion Sanders has done a great job, you know, with Colorado. Shedeur Sanders, you know, Travis Hunter. You're seeing guys who are obviously – this is a team that can put up a lot of points. BYU's been great this year. You've seen them be outstanding. They were in the mix as well for the Big 12 title. Those three, all of the teams along with Arizona State and Iowa State, were in that mix. So I think it's going to be a great game. I think the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormack's got to be doing backflips on that one. That's a great way to showcase the conference.
I mean, I think there's so many great games. I mean, it's just endless. Mm-hmm. Louisville and Washington. I mean, South Carolina, Illinois. I know that Beamer's upset about the playoff, but they had a hell of a season, and let's see if they can dance with Illinois. They got a good quarterback, so let's see what they're made of in that game. They should be able to handle Illinois, I would think. Great stuff today. I can't wait for the playoff, man. Thanks for coming on C2C, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I think this game could be decent tonight, Mike, in Dallas at Jerry's World. They've been playing better. McCarthy's got them going in the right direction. Since he's been losing, but they score a ton of points, this one might get wild.
Yeah, and I think that's the hope, right? Kind of like what we had last Monday where Cleveland and Denver got together in Mile High. You know, let's have a fun game. Two teams that, you know, in all intents and purposes aren't going anywhere, and neither team's going to make the playoffs this year. But the Bengals usually play entertaining games because they have Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and a high-powered offense, and they cannot stop anybody. As of right this moment, Bengals -5.5, total up to 49.5 for this one here tonight at Jerry's World.
Yeah, I took the points. I think Dallas is playing better than Cincinnati. Cincy always seems to crash and burn every game. They find a way to lose, and Dallas has been winning, and they've been playing better. So I think they've got some confidence. I think Cincy's a better team. I think they, you know, have had just a horrible dose of luck this year. Every game they score a ton of points and they lose. So I can't trust them. So I'm going to go Dallas and take those points. But I think Cincy's dangerous. I always worry about Joey Silk, but the Steelers went in there, remember, and punked them and scored a bunch of points against them and racked up 500 yards. Their defense is terrible.
The overs are 12-4 on Monday Night Football this year. 12 out of the 16 games have gone over the number. It's a nice fat number, that's for sure. 12 out of 16. 80% of the bets are on the over tonight, which I actually just saw at a couple places has inched up to 50.5 in a few spots. In terms of the player props for this evening, the most bet player props for us, here we go. Brandon Cooks, over 26.5 receiving yards. Kevontae Turpin, over 11.5 receiving yards. Cooper Rush, over 234.5 passing yards. Jamar Chase, over 78.5 receiving yards. You could double that, Jamar Chase. He'll have a $1.50 tonight. Joe Burrow, over 275.5 passing yards.
Yeah, I trust Chase and Burrow to go over. I'm not sure about Rush. I love the kid Turpin. I think he can do some things. He's got a ton of speed, and I don't know about Cooks. What is he, 28.5 receiving yards? I think he'll get that. I do think he'll get that. I mean, the bottom line is that Burrow puts up enormous numbers every week. The guy goes off, and so does Chase. So I think they're both automatic.
Yeah, I think the feeling behind some of the secondary Cowboy receivers is Lamb is obviously banged up. He is going to play. Lamb's going to be out there. But the thinking is Lamb hurt. The other guys are going to get a little bit more burn, maybe more of the targets. So we try to go after that. That actually was my thinking on one of the tutties as well, as we get to the touchdowns for this evening for the Cowboys and the Bengals. First tutty tonight, your boy, T. Higgins.
There he is.
8-1. We'll get T involved. Play him, of course, for the anytime as well. I'm going with a couple deep balls, too. Mike Gesicki at plus 360. Cooks had one last week against the Giants. We just talked about Lamb maybe not being 100%. Let's go to Cooks again at plus 370. Now, obviously, there are other guys, Scotty, here, but the numbers for any times are silly. You know, you get Browns minus 180 for the Bengals. Chase is minus 140 for the Bengals. Those are very big numbers. I usually don't dabble in those waters. I'm looking for more things like this.
Yeah, those are bad odds, but they throw to Gesicki. He likes throwing to him, so I like that one for sure. And I love T. Higgins. Enjoy his last season in Cincinnati. He'll be leaving, and he's going to go off wherever he goes. The guy comes up big. I love that one as well to score tonight. The guy's a badass. He's one of my favorite receivers. I love guys that are long and tall. He can go up and get it, and he always does. So, and Burrow throws it to him, so I think that'll hit. I think both of those will hit.
If only they would have threw it to him in the Super Bowl that time, T. Higgins.
Oh, humanity. Don't get me started on
what? If only they would have threw it to him in the Super Bowl. Like, what? You know, he was right there. I mean, he was the tallest guy.
They did throw to him. The thing. And then they stopped throwing to him.
They stopped throwing to him. It just makes no sense whatsoever what goes on. I still can't believe
the only
they
guy
didn't
that
do that. So there
in
you
the
go.
Super Bowl for him.
There's your NFL, Cowboys and Bengals starting up tonight. All right, we are going to do a lot of the college when we come back. I will give you this note that just crossed my desk about an hour or so ago, because it is college-related. It's like half NFL, half college, and that, of course, is the Bill Belichick to North Carolina train, which is seemingly picking up some steam. I know he did his weekly spot with McAfee today, really said he's had some good conversations with North Carolina. He's built out a plan about how he wants to run a college program. As crazy as we think it is, it sounds like this is legitimate, and he might be moving into college ranks if North Carolina hires him as the next head coach.
I mean, it's crazy. It sounds like he's going to do it. I mean, what are you going to do? He might as well. Nobody else has given him a job in the NFL. He's, whatever, 13 wins away from the record. I don't think it matters anymore if no one's going to give him a job. And why not take the job? I mean, the bottom line is they had a guy already that was 70 years old coaching there, and he's better than him. And I thought Mack Brown was a good coach in his day, but this guy's one of the greatest coaches ever in pros or otherwise. So I think he can coach college. Don't you think he'll be successful there?
Yeah, it sounds like it's in their court. Like, it sounds like he's ready to rock, and it's on them to decide if they want to go this route or go someone who's been in the college game. I did also hear that part of Belichick's requests were that his son would be the coach after him. That Steve, who's the defensive coordinator, here we go, was obviously with him in New England. This year was with Washington, the Huskies as the DC, that he would be on the staff and the coach in waiting when Bill's done. Because Bill is 73. Let's remember that. Bill is up there. So
that makes no sense to me why they would do that. I could see him being on the staff, but promising him a gig after Bill, I think, is a little bit too far.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Oregon got it done against Penn State in that Big Ten title game at Lucas Oil in Indy. The one thing about Gabriel, unbelievable, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He got sacked once. I thought Sadiq played great, had a couple of touchdowns. I mean, they are explosive. I think they're going to be really hard to beat in that playoff. I really do. I watched that game and I was like, this team is serious. They can do it to anybody. And Penn State gave them a game, Mike, and they still lost. So that team finds a way into the end zone almost at will.
I agree. I think that they are the clear favorites in my eyes. Now, I know the odds board says differently. I don't get the fascination with Texas. I don't get it. I don't understand why people think Texas is going to win the national championship this year. It's just, Did you watch them on Saturday? I don't. But Oregon, and people talk about great wins. They are undefeated. And look who they beat this year. They beat Penn State. They drubbed them, really. I know that it ended up being an 8-point game at the end of the day. But I thought they kicked Penn State's ass. They beat Ohio State. They beat Boise State, who's in the playoff as well. They got a real good – not only are they undefeated, but they've beaten a lot of really good teams this year. So I think that no question Oregon deserves to be the number one seed. They are undefeated. They win the Big Ten in their first year being in it. So congrats to them. The ACC side, Clemson, of course, beat SMU 34-31. That was to get them into the playoff. They would not have been in, of course, if they lost. They had a huge lead in this game. They were up 31-14 going to the fourth quarter. SMU comes storming back. They tie the game with 16 seconds left. But bad coverage on the kickoff return allowed Clemson to get to almost midfield. Only needed one play to get into somewhat field goal range. And give this kid credit, he hit an absolute bomb from 56 yards. Here it is on Clemson Radio.
Sweeney to hold. Snap, hold, kick on its way. Got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy.
I'll tell you what, I thought Klubnik played great, and I've never really been a big fan of his. 4 touchdowns, no picks. I don't care about anything else. He got it done. They won. They got into the playoff. They covered. I thought he played a hell of a game.
I thought he played a hell of a game, too. And I think the unfortunate thing for SMU was, you know, they shot themselves in the foot early in that game with mistakes, sloppy play, turnovers. Gave Clemson a short field because I think that they are. I think they are better than Clemson. Now, I get it. They lost the game. It is what it is. But I think they were just too nervous. This is kind of like what we said on Friday. Clemson's been there 1,000 times in these ACC title games. SMU hadn't been in it before. And it kind of took them a half, 2.5 quarters before they really got in the game and were able to show who they've been all year. And luckily for them, they showed enough in that quarter and a half, two quarters, that the committee kept them in and put them in the playoff. So congrats to SMU. They get to keep playing.
They deserve to be in. I mean, that was a hell of a comeback. You got to give them credit for that. And the reality is this, is that I think Clemson being in that game 8 of the last 10 years paid off in spades in that first half. They played like, you know, no nerve football. They just got it done. They put 24 points on the board. You know, they looked like they'd been there and done that before, which they had, right? So they knew what they were doing in the game. Then in the second half, SMU showed what they were about, and that got them into the playoff. And I think it's only fair. They were much better than Alabama this year. I don't care what anybody says. They tried to sell that Alabama, you know, their big wins instead of talking about their losses. And meanwhile, SMU was just winning games. What'd they go, 11-1 until this game, right? So I think they deserve to be there, and it was a great comeback.
It was a great comeback indeed. We'll come back, and we will talk about the Georgia win, Arizona State, and then get into the bracket and the matchups for the college football playoff in the first round. I got a few of the coaches for you today, including Marcus Freeman of the Irish. We've got Sarkisian for Texas, so we will hear what they have to think about their first-round matchups, which are only Irish and Indiana, a week from Friday night in South Bend.
And Georgia's got quarterback problems.
Yes.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.